Oh, it's great music tonight. Thank you. Am I up? Okay. It's great music. Thank you. We're going to spend a few weeks and talk a lot about Jesus and things that he said. We're starting a new series tonight. We're going to talk mostly about two words, and these two words are I am. Short words, but they're pretty important words in the Bible. In fact, they're pretty holy, powerful words. That phrase, I am, it's a great study, and it's important to kind of know how and when those words show up. We're going to talk mostly about Jesus for the next few weeks, but I want to start and get right into it and set it up and talk about something that happened to a man that lived long before Jesus, and his name was Moses. Do you remember, how many of you remember Moses? Remember Moses? He had something happen to him early in his career called the burning bush. And it was really the first meaningful conversation that Moses had with the Lord. So Moses is out watching his sheep. He was a shepherd. And he sees this bush that is burning on a mountain. And the fascinating thing about this bush, it burned and burned and burned, but it says the bush wasn't consumed. So Moses sensed that it was some miracle or a sign, and he got closer because he thought there was something special there. And there was something, because then God began to speak to Moses through that burning bush. God starts telling Moses that he has a very, very special purpose and plan for Moses, something special for him to do. Can I just stop right here? And this is maybe what you need to hear tonight. God has a same purpose, not the same purpose, but he has a special purpose and plan for you. That wasn't true just of Moses. That's not just true of the great people in the Bible. That's not true just of me or the band. That's true of you. God has something important and specific and special and meaningful and beautiful just for you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've been through or what mistake you've made. You are not on plan B. I want you to know, you may need to hear this tonight. God has something special for you. Something that he made you to do. Don't fall into the trap of those are just for the, you know, important people of the Bible. That is true of you. Moses was just a pretty ordinary person. You know, he just watched sheep, and he just obeyed God and did what God said, and that's why today we look at him as someone great. So maybe that's what you needed to hear tonight. Okay, back to Moses. Near the end of that conversation at the burning bush, after Moses finds out that he's going to have to go right into Pharaoh and demand that Pharaoh lets God's people go, Moses asks God a question. He said, Lord, I'll do it, but who do I tell Pharaoh that sent me? And here's what the Lord said, Exodus 3:14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Well, there it is. That's one of the names the Lord called himself, I am. God says, I am that I am. He said, when you go into Pharaoh and he says, who sent you? You tell him, I am sent me. So when I say they're pretty reverent, holy, special words, It starts right here with Moses in the burning bush. It's one of the names the Lord calls himself, I Am. It's an important name in the Bible. Now let's jump over to John chapter 8, because here Jesus is talking to some religious leaders. And he was always kind of getting challenged or attacked or irritated, or they were trying to trick him always. And this is no exception. And he starts giving them some deep insight. Jesus gives them some deep insight into who he is. Let's pick it up in 56, John 8, 56. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day, Jesus' day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. Jesus, you aren't even 50. And hast thou seen Abraham? They're like, come on, you're not that old. Abraham lived a long time ago. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now there's that again. Now Jesus does that on purpose, because he is making a connection to that story we just read in Exodus 3. And look what happens in 59. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, so passed by. It makes them mad. They know what he's saying. He's using the holy, reverent name of God for himself, and it makes them so mad they start picking up rocks and trying to throw at him, to stone him. They think he's being blasphemous, taking a name of God to himself, and they didn't put him in that category. Jesus says, your father, Abraham, he saw my day. And they said, you aren't even 50 yet, and you think you've seen Abraham? And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. That made him so mad, they just tried to kill him. Because that name, I Am, it was so holy, they thought he was being blasphemous and didn't think that Jesus had the authority to say that. But we know Jesus wasn't blaspheming, and that he did have the authority to say that. He was really saying who he was. He was connecting himself to the great I Am of Exodus 3. He's saying, in essence, I maybe have been born in a manger, but I have been around a long time, even before Abraham. I am that special, Jesus is telling them. He wants them and us to know something, that Jesus is much more than just a person. He was a person, and he faced all the temptations we face, but he's more than that. He is what Isaiah called him one time, God with us. Jesus is God with us. So this time, he calls himself I Am, the great I Am. So we're going to use that as a springboard and look at seven different things over the next 7 weeks that Jesus said, I am something. And what these do, these teach us some great principles, some great takeaways of who Jesus is. It's a great way to learn a lot more about who he was, what he can do, just all of the great things that he shares with us today. Okay, so tonight we're going to see the time that Jesus said, I am the bread of life. These are the great I Am statements that Jesus says. When you look at them, they work together. They fit together to give us a deeper understanding of who Jesus is. We learn a lot about Jesus. Okay, so we're gonna look at something that Jesus said in John 6. Now, John 6, the chapter begins with a famous story. It begins with a story of where one time 5,000 people got together to hear Jesus teach. And at some point during the day, they figured out they didn't have anything to eat, and they were hungry. Now, I have lots of thoughts about this story. I think I've taught at least two or three times from this stage about that story. But for tonight, we'll just fast forward to the point where Jesus takes that little boy's lunch and he blesses the lunch and turns that lunch into enough food to feed all 5,000 people and have leftovers. Jesus did that. He transformed that, what that little boy offered, into something that fed 5,000 people and had 12 baskets left over. And interestingly enough, it was bread, 5 loaves of bread, and 2 fish. So that event about the bread and what Jesus did with the bread starts a big discussion in John 6. People started talking to Jesus, wanting to know more. Maybe they wanted to know how he did that. And they start talking about this concept of bread. And Jesus went back to another story about Moses in Exodus 16, about another time that people were hungry and they didn't have anything to eat, just like the people he just fed. And God rained bread from heaven down. And does anybody know what that special bread was called? It begins with an M. What is it? Manna. Yes, manna. And it was special bread. They didn't have enough food, and they were complaining that they were hungry, and God sent them manna. That's how God fed them and nourished them and kept them going with their necessary supplies on that journey. Manna, that bread. It was a famous story. They knew about manna. They connected it to Exodus. Jesus is always doing that, connecting the Old and New Testament, showing the pictures. And manna itself, it was famous in Israel. Everybody knew about it. I think they even put some in the Ark of the Covenant to preserve it and remember it, and just so they wouldn't forget that special bread. It's an important part of Jewish history. You know, bread is special. Just bread in general. It's special. It's very unique. The way you bake it, the way it rises, all the different kinds of bread, it's a special thing to eat. I used to work for, I don't know, less than a year, a few months. I was really helping a friend out more than anything. I used to work in a sandwich shop in New Jersey. In fact, it was called Bread and Life. I think the title was from some Bible verses, Bread and Life. And it was a fancy sandwich shop, and the sandwiches were amazing. Never had better sandwiches in my life. So here's what they did. And they spent way too much making the sandwiches, but they were good. So the owners were from France, and they wanted to copy the concept that you would find in Paris and make sandwiches out of these baguettes. Now, a baguette is a big, long piece of bread that has really good crust, and it's soft on the inside. Well, they bought a special bacon machine from Germany and had it shipped over. Just a ton of money. But he would get there at 3:30 a.m. every morning and bake fresh baguettes to make the sandwiches on. I'm getting hungry right now thinking about it. You could get a roast beef sandwich. You could get a special cheese sandwich. You could get a tuna fish sandwich. You can get one with that special smoked ham prosciutto. And I look back, and for some reason, those were the months I really started putting on weight. I don't know why, but I really started gaining weight. I just can't tell you what those tasted like. You would walk in and smell that bread, and I know that bread is special. I'll give you another one. When I was in high school, my dad, who was the VOAG teacher, I just saw my dad Sunday. He was 91 that day and still going strong. He would take us to Rolla for judging contests. We would judge, you know, certain kind of seeds or soils or pigs or something. We'd go there for a judging contest, and we would park by the Colonial Bakery, and we'd open that door of the bus, and whoa, that was, it just smelled wonderful. It's something magical about bread baking. It's special. Now, I don't know what manna tasted like back then, but it had to be good. Think about it. Bread from heaven that God rained down and to keep them going. Well, when Jesus tells that story about manna, he makes the connection between himself and that bread. And he said, I want to tell you something. I'm that bread. I'm the bread from heaven. I am the bread of life. I don't know what manna tasted like, but that's what God gave them for them to eat daily along their journey. They couldn't make it without food. They were low on food, and God gave them special food to get them through. They talk about manna for a while, and then Jesus says this, John 6, verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, giveth life unto the world. He's saying that's it's me. And they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He says, you know all about this manna. It's famous. You even put a piece in the Ark of the Covenant. It was special. It was a miracle. He says, I'm a lot like that bread. In fact, that bread back there is really a picture of me. I'm the true bread from heaven. He's saying that was special enough back there, but I am the true bread from heaven because everyone here has a spiritual hunger, a hunger deep in their heart. And if you have a relationship with me, just like they wanted the manna, he says, if you have a relationship with the true bread of heaven, I'll satisfy your hunger. I'll satisfy your thirst. Now, here is what I take away from this statement. Here, when I read Jesus saying, I'm the bread of heaven, here's what I think. I think that Jesus is saying, to me, it shows me, I need Jesus every day. That's tonight's takeaway. I need Jesus every day. When Jesus said he's the bread of heaven, and he connects himself to that story back in Exodus 16, to me, Jesus is saying, I need to be in a relationship with Jesus every day. That's what he's telling us. He goes back to the manna. They needed that every day. God didn't rain down the manna just about when they were to die of hunger. He didn't do it in emergency situations. God gave them manna every day along their journey. And then Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. I am like that bread from heaven. So that's what I read. I need Jesus every day. That's what that shows me. That's what that means to me. Because you know what? You know what I do sometimes if I'm not careful? I wait until I really need Jesus before I start talking to him. I wait until there's some problem that I try to solve on my own. Or I wait till things get really bad. Or I tried everything, and then I thought, well, I've tried everything my way. I might as well ask Jesus to help me. If I'm not careful, I'll do that. And let me just say this. That's not a completely bad thing. It's not bad. Some of you here tonight, you have a big problem maybe. You got a big thing going on in your life. Tell it to Jesus, okay? Tell him everything. Let him know what you need. That's not bad. That's good. Tell it to Jesus. I'm just saying, don't wait until it gets to that point before you tell Jesus your problem. Just talk to him every day, just like that manna. Have a relationship with him every day. Let him know if something good happens. Talk to him about it. Let him know if something surprising happens. Tell him the good and the bad. Just talk to him all the time and read what he says in Scripture. Do it every day, just like they did with the manna. You know, we have a car, and it wasn't new, but it's new to us. And I was thinking, coming over here tonight, I've never seen that spare tire. I don't think I've ever seen the spare tire in my car. And we've had that thing maybe 4, 5, 6 months. I've never seen the spare tire. If I needed it right now, I don't know if I knew. I'd have to look for it. I don't know if it's under the car or maybe in that little thing. I don't know what tool I've got to get it to get it out. You know why? I never use it. I never think about my spare tire unless I have some problem. I have a flat or an emergency. Then I'll have to figure out all about my spare tire. Don't treat Jesus like a spare tire, right? Don't treat him like something you only need when you need him. Now, if you need him, hey, he is there. You tonight may be like Peter. Remember, he walked on the water and he began to sink and he didn't have any fancy prayer. He just stuck his hands up and said, "Lord, help me." And he got help. That's great. But there are times just in the normal course of your life that we should be talking to Jesus and telling him how we feel or telling him what our problems are or thank him for what he did and who he is and that he would have a relationship with us. That is what the manna says to me. It says, I need Jesus every day. God gave them manna every day. And Jesus said, I'm like that bread from heaven. I'm the bread of life. We need bread, something very good and basic and special every day. He's our daily bread. There's a reason that God gave them manna every day. And one of the reasons might be he is showing us that we need Jesus every single day. Father, thank you for these principles in the Bible, and I'm looking forward to all the things that Jesus said, I am something. And I pray each week we'd have a good takeaway that we can apply and we can live with and we can remember because, Lord, we do thank you for your Son, and we pray that we could have a relationship with him every day. And, Lord, there are times when we really need him. And thank you for being there when we do. But, Lord, help it be more than that. Help it be just a daily, natural relationship we have with him, just like your children did with the manna thousands of years ago. And it's in Jesus' name we ask you and thank you all these things. Amen. Okay, that's it for tonight. And we will bring it back next week with another I Am.